Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
The book of Genesis tells of Joseph's rise to power and influence within the Egyptian government. God had given him great wisdom and discernment, so that he not only saved many Jews, but many of the Egyptians as well. Some Bible scholars have referred to Joseph as the prime minister of Egypt. Others have called him the secretary of agriculture. But whatever his title, he became a great force in Egypt during his lifetime. The remarkable part of Joseph's work in Egypt was the fact that he was a foreigner. The Egyptians, for centuries, had never been especially friendly to foreigners. Before Joseph died, he requested that his bones be removed from Egypt at the time God would deliver his people from that land. As time passed, there arose a king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. Exodus 1:8. The expression, "knew not Joseph," probably does not mean that the new king had never heard Joseph's name. It may simply mean that the new king had no particular respect for Joseph and what he represented. Some have suggested that the new king was actually a new dynasty, a dynasty which changed the moral and political tone of Egypt. This story from the Old Testament should alert Americans and other people that a nation's political leadership can change many of the freedoms and opportunities we have been enjoying for a long, long time. Just because the United States has provided more freedom for more people than any other nation on God's earth does not mean such blessings will continue. Sometimes leaders are more interested in perpetuating their political philosophy or their personal agendas than they are in keeping the country strong and free. All of this means that every citizen of every country must be on the alert to prevent being handicapped morally, spiritually, financially, and politically by some greedy, headstrong politician. We can never be too careful. The new king in Egypt was not smart enough to be king, although many nations through the ages have suffered a similar fate. He said to the Egyptian people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." Exodus 1:9. The children of Israel had multiplied rapidly during their stay in Egypt. Exodus 1:7. But there were not more of them than they were of the Egyptians. The number of Israelites was probably never more than 3 million people, and there were many more of the Egyptians than that. But the new king used this argument to get the Egyptians behind him and against the Israelites. Incidentally, he was not the first politician, nor will he be the last, to inflate figures for his own evil schemes. We see such deception on a regular basis in our country. The new king was interested in preventing the Israelites from further growth. He told his people, "Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it shall come to pass that when there falls out any war, they join also our enemies and against us, and so get them up out of the land." Exodus 1:10. The Jews in Egypt may have been able to assist Egypt's enemies, but not too much. They had few, if any, instruments of war. But leaders do not need facts when they have decided to act in a certain way. Should we not be smart enough to know when they are behaving in such a fashion? The Egyptians decided they would afflict the Israelite people. They required them to build treasure cities at Pithom and Ramses, Exodus 1:11. Did the Pharaoh's plan work? My friends, he made life hard for the Israelites, but they continued to grow. Thank you, and may God bless you.